I share this story very often about Dr. Master. I'm going to share it again. A number of years ago, I was actually lecturing in India. I was traveling around to a number of the major cities there, and I arrived in Mumbai, and I was presenting a lecture. It was a fairly large audience. I don't know, maybe 500, 600, 700 people in the audience. And I was presenting fairly difficult cases, and I presented this case, and Dr. Master, or actually a group of students around Dr. Master, kept yelling out the remedy. And I was surprised, because these were cases that I had presented to very well-known practitioners who had not been able to solve the case and determine the correct remedy prescription. But here there was this little group of people, and they were all just, every time, within a few minutes, shouting out the name of the remedy. And so after my presentation, I went up to this group, and I discovered that these were Dr. Master's students. And I immediately realized that not only did Dr. Master have a profound knowledge of homeopathic practice and all facets of homeopathy, but that he was able to communicate that understanding to his students in such a way that they were able, in their own practices, to emulate his great success. And to me, this is the key, is to have somebody who not just puts on a magic show, but who is able to make homeopathy intelligible and understandable, and is able to convey what homeopathy is in such a manner that those people who listen can actually go out and practice successfully themselves. We are very fortunate to have Dr. Master here this evening. And Farouk, thank you so much. By the way, I just want to add one more thing. Farouk is a very good person and one of the nicest people I've ever met in my entire life. So Dr. Master will actually be at this year's LIGA conference, which will be running from May 18th through the 22nd. And that'll be in Redondo Beach, California. It's the 65th LIGA conference. I don't think that LIGA's been in the United States for, I think, 11, 12 years now. It is open to everybody involved in homeopathy. You don't need to be a medical doctor or have a license to practice homeopathic medicine. If you're a student or anybody else, you can participate in this event. And it's well worth considering, because it's a venue where you're going to have all of the greatest homeopathic practitioners and teachers from all around the world, people like Dr. Master, Dr. Andre Sain, Dr. Paul Herskew, Dr. Will Taylor, Dr. Frederick Schroyens, Dr. Roger Morrison, Franz Remulen, and many other people. So it's really a great opportunity in a very nice location to have a real intensive experience being exposed to the best teachers and practitioners we have in our community. I also would like to mention that Dr. Master and I will also be offering a seminar in Toronto, Canada, specifically on pediatrics. And that seminar will be happening on May 8th and 9th, and that's in Toronto. If people want more information about that, they can call the Toronto School of Homeopathic Medicine. The phone number is 416-966-2350. That's 416-966-2350. The seminar is almost filled up. We have only a capacity for, 190 people. I think there's already 170 signed up. So there's only about 20 seats left. If you're interested, it will be an excellent seminar with video cases, really exploring in depth how to use homeopathy in the treatment of young infants, babies, and small children. All right, so Farouk, again, thank you so much for joining us. We always appreciate having you join us for one of these classes.
You're most welcome, Kim.
So Farouk, the subject of tonight's interview is small remedies for small patients. And in other words, you're going to be talking about some of the lesser-known remedies that we can use in pediatric homeopathic practice. I thought perhaps you could start by maybe talking a little bit about some of the smaller or lesser-known remedies from the calcarea group and how these might be used in practice.
Okay. The small remedies in calcarea group, which I frequently use in pediatrics, is calcarea acetica, calcarea bromata, calcarea caustica, calcarea hypophosphorica, calcarea lactica, calcarea muriatica, and calcarea picrata. And let me discuss each remedies with some key note symptoms. In calcarea acetica, the most important thing that I look in a child is a loose rattling cuff, you know. It is a loose cuff, something like a antimony tart. But the expectoration that comes out is in the form of a membrane, you know. Literally the membranous part, you know, of the internal mucosa of the bronchial and the bronchial tubes, you know, comes out as an expectoration. There's a difficult respiration. And these children, they become quite breathless with every bout of coughing, you know. So to me, Calcarea acetica is exactly similar to antimony tart and Kali sulf. Now, if you ask me how do I differentiate, in antimony tart, there is a thirst and there is a fanning, which is very important. In Kali sulf, the expectoration is more of a yellowish-greenish color, and the person is versed in a warm room. While in Calcarea acetica, there is no modality. There is no peculiarity of the expectoration excepting the membranous part of it. But the most important thing is the loud rattle. It is a very, very loose, loud rattle, as if a person is going to bring out a lot of water from the lungs instead of your expectoration. So this is Calcarea acetica. And then there is a diarrhea without any weakness. So this is another key symptom, that along with the respiratory complaint, if you get a diarrhea as a keynote, which does not exhaust the patient, that is the keynote of Calcarea acetica. And then, Cub, let's go to Calcarea bromata.
Well, specifically about Calcarea acetica, in other respects, the children can look very much like Calcarea carbonica, is that correct?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, okay, sure.
And Calcarea bromata children basically are fair like any other Calcarea, but the key symptom is restlessness. Calcarea bromata is one Calcarea which is very restless, like tuberculinum. They have a tendency to recurrent eustachian catarrh, so they keep on getting otitis media recurrently. And this otitis media ultimately damages their hearing process. So that's another part. There will be a lot of enlargement of the lymph nodes. And most important thing is the timidity. The timidity amongst all the Calcarea is maximum in Calcarea silicata and Calcarea bromata. And sleeplessness in children during dentition. This is another keynote symptom which I use in Calcarea bromata, that if a child during the dentition phase just doesn't go to sleep for 1 hour till 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, and wants to play all the time, then Calcarea bromata is one of the useful remedy. And then I would like to go to Calcarea caustica, which is a common lime water, as you know. And caustica I use also for eustachian catarrh with impaired hearing, but here the differentiation is the lymph node. In bromata, the lymph nodes are easily palpable, you know, and are tender to touch. But in Calcarea caustica, you will not get a lymph node enlargement. Instead, you will get worms. Calcarea caustica is one of the most wormy remedy, like Sina, with a very high appetite. The child wants to eat all the time. And the child passes a lot of roundworms, pinworms, threadworms. The child is obese, but very, very dull. Exactly opposite to bromata. Dull, lethargy, and obese. And they have a very strong family history of tuberculosis. So it's one of the very important tubercular miasm remedy. And the child has a tendency to develop hoarseness of the voice with every little cold. So these are the key symptoms of Calcarea caustica I use in my practice. And then let's go to Calcarea hypophos. This is one of the strongest tubercular miasm remedy in Calcarea group. And these children have a tendency to develop recurrent boils and abscesses anywhere in the body. They have a recurrent otitis media leading to hearing impairment. But here, this Calcarea is very lean, thin, emaciated because, of course, of the phosphorus that is being associated with this. And they are highly prone to develop rickets. The key symptom is strong craving for milk. And milk ameliorates everything. They have a very ravenous appetite. They constantly feel hungry. They get irritable very easily, and the speech is very hasty. It's, I think so, one of the important remedy along with Heparsulf in homeopathy for hasty speech. And then I would like to discuss Calcarea lactica. Now, lactica also has a glandular diathesis with history of tuberculosis, but I use lactica a lot in anemia, various anemia, different type of anemia, like iron deficiency anemia or megaloblastic anemia due to vitamin B12 deficiency. Calcarea lactica is a very important remedy. The key symptom is that they sleep on abdomen and they have got a marked aversion to milk. In fact, this is the very important calcarea which has an aversion to milk. Rest of the calcareas, as you will see in the repertory, will have a strong desire for the milk. And we'll go now to Calcarea muriatica. Again, a tubercular remedy, recurrent boils in different part of the body, recurrent otitis media. The most important indication I use in pediatrics is the impetigo. It has an impetigo very, very similar to antimonium crudum. How will you differentiate? Calcarea muriatica is more timid, soft and mild, while antimony crude is extremely irritable an angry child. Let's go to Calcarea picrata. Calcarea picrata again is a tubercular remedy with recurrent tendency to boil anywhere, but the characteristic is profuse pus within the boil, and the pus keeps on oozing even after the boil has ruptured for more than 3 days, 4 days, and the suppuration just does not stop in a very hot patient. So these are the indications of small calcareas that I use in my...
Very interesting. And Farouk, are you using these frequently in your practice with in pediatrics?
Yes, yes. I use a lot of small calcareas. Now it's a summertime in India, and calcarea pick and hypophos will be my favorite remedy because kids come with a lot of summer boils, you know, in my practice. And this is a very important remedy for summer boils, you know. Yeah.
Farouk, you mentioned Calcarea lactica. So I'm curious, what about the lac remedies? Are you using these a lot with children? What's your experience
with
some of the lesser known of the lac remedies?
Yeah. The commonest lac remedies that I use in pediatric age group is Caprinum, Delphinum, Phalaenum, Humanum, Vaccinum defloratum, and of course lactic acid, if you consider that in the lac group. In Caprinum, that is of course the goat milk, I use this almost like a polycrest remedy, but the most important thing is the migraine. In the pediatric migraine, where the child weeps with the headache, and the migraine is worse in the morning, especially on waking or especially when he is exposed to sun. And along with this type of migraine, you will see a typical psychology. The child is angry very, very easily. The child gets anger on trifle. The anger is uncontrollable. Anger usually arises from interruption, and the child becomes quite censorious and impatient. Also, to some extent, the child can be quite malicious, you know. Till the people are good to the child is very nice to them. The moment the people try to hurt him, he will become their worst enemy, you know, something like that. Behind Caprinum, the most important lingering factor is the ailments from, and that is the child is missing his family. That means situations where the parents are working abroad, or a single parent syndrome, or a child is staying in a boarding school away from the family. These are the situations which invite a lac caprinum state. They have a very strong desire for fried food in my practice. And if I have to discuss bottlenose dolphin, I use bottlenose dolphin milk for allergic disorders, basically for respiratory tract infections and sinusitis, where there's a lot of catarrh. The catarrh is more in the post-nasal area, and common sinuses that get involved are the maxillary and the frontal sinuses with recurrent sore throat, especially on the left side, you know. So the left side is very characteristic in Delphinum. emotionally, these people are quite creative and they need a lot of activity. They are very affectionate, very attractive, like tuberculinum or phosphorus. They love people around them. They are very playful. They love company. Of course, again, the main thing is the forsaken feeling. When a child has an unloved feeling, you know, and the child feels is not receiving enough attention and love from the people in the family, then the child tries to be more affectionate, more attractive, loves company so that that particular thing gets neutralized. They have a strong desire for swimming and a strong craving for ice cream and chocolates. Delphinum you can many times mistake with carcinosin phosphorus also. They usually like to, you know, sleep on their abdomen. And sometimes the problems are also gets started after they are exposed to a frightful situation. Or mother has experienced a lot of fright during pregnancy. Then also you may get a lac delphinum state. Now if I also discuss lac felinum, lac felinum is typically used for children who have been adopted by the parents from the remand home or the foster home, you know. And it's a good remedy for children where the pet dog or the pet cat has died and they cannot bear that kind of separation and grief. Felinums are the big lover of animals. Amongst all the lac remedies, lac felinum has a very strong love for animals. The conditions, physical conditions where I use these remedies, of course, are migraine and sinusitis. Migraines are typically left-sided above the eyes. Sinusitis are also typical left-sided. And there's a marked aversion for fatty food and a strong desire for milk. And another very important thing I saw in lac felinum children are that they are extremely clairvoyant. Many cases where I have seen they are very intelligent and to an extent of being clairvoyant. In humanum, humanum state basically comes from a child when the mother during the pregnancy was neglected and unloved, or when the child has been brought up by a single parent, or where there is a death of a loved one in the family, including the pet, and the child feels very lonely and detached, and the child goes into depression. So childhood depression, even depression that arises after sexual abuse in a child, so that humanum will take care of it. It has a symptom very similar to calcarea carb and sacrum officinalis. So here you will see that because of this unloved feeling, the child loves to cling to somebody, cling to even an inanimate object like a toy or a particular object, or trying to put something in the mouth or something, put the fingers in the mouth, or trying to chew the gum constantly in the mouth, you know. And many children, they develop eating disorders later on, you know. And they can you know, indulge themselves a lot in sweets, chocolates, and become quite obese, or they may suffer from anorexia nervosa. They can also suffer from learning disorders like dyslexia, lack of concentration, difficulty in calculations, and the strong craving that I have found in humanum is the bacon and chocolates, and they have a very strong tendency to catch cold with slightest draft of cold air. Now, when I'm talking about skim milk, that is the lac vaccinum defloratum, it is a very useful remedy for constipation in children, accompanied by headache. And the constipation is so bad that the child takes a lot of purgatives, but nothing is happening, and it almost becomes habituated to the purgatives. The stools are large and hard, and the child has to strain a lot. But very, very chilly patient, very chilly patient, and prone to develop diabetes at a very early age, what we call as a juvenile diabetes of the young. And they have got a lot of issues with the milk. Either they may have milk allergies or aversion to milk or nausea from milk or vomiting, diarrhea, rashes, running nose from milk. And the key symptom that I see over here is that the child develops a lot of froth in the mouth while talking. If you can observe this key symptom, when the child is talking, a lot of salivation is in the mouth, a lot of froth comes out from the mouth. This is typical of Vaccinum defloratum. These are my experiences with Lek remedies.
Very interesting. And Farouk, what about some of the tuberculinums, the smaller ones? Are you using these for?
Yeah. The common two tuberculinums that I use is the Avis. As you know, Avis was prepared from the chicken liver by Dr. Cartier from France. And I use Avis a lot in left ear recurrent otitis media. In fact, in adults also. The more the old history you have about this otitis media in the left ear, the stronger the indication of a tuberculinum Avis. I can quote so many cases in my life. I recently saw one almost an adolescent in Paris, you know, who had a left otitis media ever since he was about 7 to 8 months old, and now he's 13, 14 years old. And this keeps on bothering him with multiple operations and a lot of hearing problems, and yet the child, you know, is having pain and discharge and swelling and discomfort. And just few doses of tuberculinum Avis, you know, put end to the whole suppurating process. And how it all starts? It starts with a running nose, and then the nose, the discharge becomes purulent, and then nose feels obstructed, and then there is sneezing, and then the cold travels into the ear, or it may travel down into the larynx and trachea, and then the respiration becomes difficult, and then you get rattling and expectorations. So this is how the whole thing develops, and it is a strong medicine for any complication in the respiratory passage after measles, like bronchitis or pneumonias after measles. And it is useful for even the polyps in the nose. And the child is usually lean, thin, emaciated with a strong tubercular background, either a strong family history of tuberculosis or a past history of tuberculosis. And they have a strong craving for fruits. So these are the indications I use for tuberculinum Avis. Now, Marmoric, as you know, tuberculinum marmoric I use a lot. This is a medicine which is prepared from the horse vaccinated by a young culture of tubercular bacilli. And then the serum of the horse is potentized. That is why it is known as Marmoric. And usually indicated in children who are lean, thin, emaciated, with a low appetite, who are pale, the lips are dry and cracked. You feel as if you are seeing an atramule child, you know, with enlargement of the glands. Discoloration of the tongue is red. But the characteristic is that it is a very good remedy for the rheumatic pain in children, and for rheumatism in children, which keeps on wandering, you know, from one joint to another joint. They love smoked meat, salted meats, pickled meat. In fact, it is one of the strongest remedy in homeopathy for meat, like staphylococcus and magnesium carb. And they love meat in different forms, smoked, salted, pickled. Any physical exertion aggravates, and severe constipation, stool is very hard, you know. And the another concomitant that I have seen is the coldness of the tips of the fingers and toes of Marmoric. So this is a short on small tuberculinum.
Very interesting. What about the, I think I've heard you mention that you sometimes use the Nozode Flavus coli bacillinum.
Yeah.
About that? So in terms of your, do you use it for children as well?
Yes. I do use a colibacillinum. As you know, colibacillinum is E. coli, you know, and any child who suffers from recurrent infections in the bladder or recurrent infections in the kidney. Let me give you a small example. You know, I had a child with who comes with a congenital stenosis at the pelvic-urethral junction in the kidney, and as a result, the child gets recurrent infection. And I put the child on a constitutional remedy, carcinosin. Child feels much better, but yet the infection is not leaving the child, you know. And this is the case where you give one of two doses of E. coli 30, and then you will see that the infection rate goes much more less. Or you can talk about urethral valves, you know, or congenital malformation anywhere in the urinary system, you know, which produces turbid urine, offensive urine, excessive pus in the urine, or And the child also suffers from recurrent diarrhea, and there's a strong family history of tuberculosis, you know. Then this is the remedy colibacillinum I used. It has a strong craving for dairy products, you know. The peculiar symptom is a strong craving for dairy and eggs. And so this is the concomitant colibacillinum I use.
Very interesting. Farouk, there's an old remedy that you find in Allen's Encyclopedia, which I think it's a snake, actually, or a snakeless or a legless lizard. It's the remedy Amphispina vermicularis.
Ah.
And I think you use that
Amphispina vermicularis. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So can you... I know that you've used that as well for children. Can you tell us a little bit about what its indications are?
Okay.
Let me just spell it for people.
You know, this is the only medicine in homeopathy where Dr. Muir introduced this remedy, you know, from Brazil.
Yeah, Benoit Muir.
Yeah. And this is the only medicine, you know, from the snake kingdom, which is prepared from the jaw of the snake, you know. Everywhere we use the venom. But this is only remedy which is being really potentized from the jaw of the snake bone. And, of course, the indications are also in that direction only. The most important thing I use this remedy is when the teeth are clenched, you know, where you see the clenching of the teeth due to any disease, either it is meningitis, encephalitis, rabies, caries of the tooth, dental surgery, recurrent tonsillitis. This is another very important indication of this remedy. The child cannot just swallow the saliva. The tonsils are so inflamed, red, and painful. Acne with the constipation. This is another very important thing, that acne is in children. And, of course, any problem of the jaw, dislocation of the jaw, or pain in the jaw, or the inflammation of the jaw. Amphibesina vermicularis is a very important remedy. In Materia Medica, they have mentioned that this medicine is from the lizard, but it is wrong. Actually, it is a serpent which has two heads, and the eye that glows. And that serpent has been potentized.
Farouk, you don't mention the Amphispina vermicularis in your snake book. Is there a reason?
Yes. I agree with you. I had not enough cases actually in my hand at that time when I started writing the book, and then it missed out, you know.
I see.
Yeah.
But now you find it's a remedy you've been using fairly regularly, even in the treatment of children.
Yes, especially in the acne.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Farouk, and I know you're using some kind of unusual remedies like adenosinum monophosphoricum acidum and deoxyribonucleicum acidum and also ribonucleicum acidum. Can you tell us a little bit about how you use remedies?
Yeah. Three very rare acids, what you call as DNA, RNA, and, you know, adenosine monophosphate. Okay. Let's start with adenosinum monophosphate. You know what we... you hear this chemical quite in when you study the chemistry of the respiratory metabolism. It's a very useful remedy in children. Children are very anxious and nervous, if you want to see the clinical picture, with lack of self-confidence. They bite their nails, you know, or... they become quite panicky very easily, and then they suffer from headaches. So basically, for nervous headache in children with low self-confidence who are anxious, these children, they wake up in the morning and they complain of headache because they are anxious. What will they do the whole day, or what will happen in the school, or what will happen today to me, you know. So this type of anxiety, you know, invites headache in them. They are quite energetic and lively otherwise, but their ego levels have never been structured properly in the way it should be, because either there is a strong personality who stays next to them, or there is a domineering personality who stays next to them. So the ego levels are little weak, and that's the reason why their self-confidence is usually affected. And I have seen with this kind of emotional problem, they may complain with psoriasis also. I had two good cases of psoriasis where I had seen in a children that I was about to prescribe carcinosin, where I saw some good indications of this remedy. They sleep on abdomen like carcinosin. Another important keynote in this remedy is the cracked lip. The lips are cracked and they have a strong craving for oranges and potatoes in any form aggravates. So this was about the remedy. And then let's go to another remedy, that is desoxyribonucleic acid. Of course, this remedy was introduced by Julian in Julian's Materia Medica. It is one of the anchor remedy in my practice for mental retardation, especially children who had a bird injuries or ischemic encephalopathies or due to the infection in the postnatal period, and the child becomes, you know, retarded, or there is a low-grade retardation. Also, this state can also develop when you abuse the child during the developmental stage. And this is another good remedy for Down syndrome or Fragile X syndrome or any other inherited degenerative disorders of the nervous system. The development is quite delayed and retarded. The child looks very dull, no self-confidence, a lot of mistakes in writing, reading. Now, the only thing with all this kind of retardation, there is one very strong thing, and that is that they are sexually quite precautious, very precautious sexually. They allow to remain alone. Even though they have a low self-confidence, they refuse to take help of people. And they suffer from a lot of allergies. And they have got a strong desire for carbonated drinks like Coca-Cola and Pepsi and all those things. And ribonucleic acid, of this, again, this remedy was introduced by Julian. Again, it is used for learning and personality disorders. But here, the difference between the two, that is the desoribonucleic acid and ribonucleic acid, is that in deso, you have got inherited congenital syndromes with birth injuries and postnatal infection. But in ribonucleic acid, this need not be there. Here in ribonucleic acid, the child is dull, cannot concentrate, but overall he is little intelligent. He is not as dull as desoribonucleic acid. So that is the difference. And they've got a recurrent herpes. This is another very key symptom in ribonucleic acid. They've got recurrent herpes and atopic eczema also, which keeps on recurring. And unstable weight. Sometimes they just put on weight in kilos. Few kilos they put on in few months, or sometimes they lose weight suddenly in few weeks. So fluctuation in the weight, and the child must eat often, and a strong desire for meat and sugar, and the child wants the food very, very spicy. In fact, this is the only remedy in pediatrics that I have seen where the child needs a lot of spices and a lot of vinegar. And that kind of food goes down the stomach very easily. But if you give them a simple food, it doesn't go down their stomach very easily. Infections around the nails, this is another very, very useful remedy. Even in adults, I have seen infection around the nail, especially the index finger, the second finger, the third finger, where you get eczemas, or you may have psoriasis, or you may have simple cracks. This is an important remedy.
Interesting. Farouk, Alistair Gray did a proving a few years ago of one of the more poisonous sea animals, the box jellyfish, which we is the remedy Chironex fleckeri. And I'm curious, I know you do have some cases. Are you also using this in the treatment of children? And can you tell us a little bit about your experience if you do?
I started using box jellyfish years before even Alistair introduced the proving in homeopathy. It so happened that in the early 90s, I was in London and I was in Ainsworth Pharmacy and discussing with the owner of the pharmacy, Tony Pincus, about my cancer patients. And he said that, why don't you look for some poisonous fishes, you know, which can be useful to relieve and the pain of a cancer patient. And I said, okay, I would love to do that, but can you procure some potentized medicine from poisonous fish? And he said, of course, right now we have a box jellyfish with us, and why don't you try? And I said, in what patients I should try, because there is no proving, there is no materia medica. He says, you just keep the medicine with you and you try to do a clinical proving. And so my first case was of a patient who complained of a post-herpetic neuralgia, which was extremely burning, you know, and it was not responding to any common indicated medicine. And box jellyfish I used for the very first time, and I saw that there was a good relief in the burning sensation. Subsequently, I started using for burning sensation in many cancer patients with open wounds. Again, the indication was a burning sensation, nothing beyond that. And then I started using as a specific remedy in many, many cancer patients with nightly aggravation. So then I got a nightly aggravation, then I got a burning pain, then I got a cancer, then I got a post-herpetic neuralgia. And when I was collecting all these clinical symptoms, I got to see that Alistair Gray from Australia introduced this remedy. And after reading the proving, I started using this in children with behavioral problem. And when I saw the symptoms of Alistair Gray, I saw that this is another tuberculinum. It's a mini tuberculinum, you know, with ravenous appetite, emaciation, tendency to catch cold, tendency to recurrent enlargement of the glands, obstinate, defiant, discontented child. So that's how, after reading the proving, I think so, I have started using it in behavioral disorder. And this behavioral disorder of box jellyfish usually arises from lack of love from the parents. So these are my views.
Very interesting. What about the remedy antipyrinum? Are you using that?
Yeah, I use a lot of antipyrinum in children with allergic conditions, especially of the skin and of the upper respiratory tracts. And you may confuse this remedy with belladonna and chlorum in the beginning when you see the picture. I had some cases of childhood urticaria or childhood angioneurotic edema, where the child suffers from severe urticarial rash, which are edematous and swollen and intense itching. You know, and the child scratches, and the part becomes very red, bright red, and you are tempted to think of belladonna. You give belladonna and nothing happens. The next remedy should be antipyrinum. Now, what are the indication that you will see over here is the, even though the child has got so much rash, you know, and so much heat in the body, as you see, actually the child is very chilly patient. So this is another characteristic symptom, that it's a very chilly remedy. And even when there is a lot of redness and heat in the child, there's a lot of sensation of cold, that the child will not be able to bear a cold air or a fan or an air condition. And many times you mistake this case with either belladonna or Apis mellifica. Another keynote symptom is the when the child suffers from septicemia or a very high temperature due to some serious infection, the urine becomes scanty and the child starts bloating by collecting water in different cavities of the body. So I sometimes even think of this remedy in a septic condition where there is a very high fever and there is a low blood pressure and there is a lot of infection in the blood. You know, when you examine the blood count, you see the white cells are very high and there are some notorious infections in the blood. Again, the keynote symptom is the coldness. The coldness outside and the coldness within. And the child feels extremely chilly with a lot of perspiration. This is the indication of antipyrinum.
Brooke, I see we're running short on time, but I wanted to ask you about one more because I know you use the cod liver oil and the Dipyl oil in your practice. So could you tell us a little bit about the Oleum animale and the Oleum jacoris?
Okay.
And
so
could you differentiate them for us?
Sure. First, I will talk with cod liver oil, you know, the famous the cod liver oil that is prepared from the liver of the codfish Gadus mora, that is the Oleum jacoris. Now, Oleum jacoris I have been using since time immemorial for children with diarrhea who are emaciated, you know, and strong tubercular history and mark aversion for the milk. These were my peculiar indication, and then of course growing pains in the bone, in the legs, in the child, and child develops to recurrent catarrh of the ear and nose. Then a stage further came in my practice where I started using that remedy for actual tuberculosis in the children where they suffer from primary complex, where the child is lean, thin, emaciated with dry hacking cough, tickling cough, worse night, you know, and night sweats. The peculiar symptom is the child has a hot hand and the head which is extremely hot, and child looks absolutely thin, pale, rickety, cachectic, old looking, and there is excessive hair on the face. So these are the indication of cod liver oil, as well as the indication of the bone oil, that is the Oleum animale. You know that this oil is obtained by distillation of the stag's horn. And the stag horn is powdered and then it is distilled, you know. And the potentized medicine is very good for growing pain or any bony pain in child, in cancer patients also. And the growth of the child is retarded. And the child is absent-minded and the child is dull and the child is morose. And the child is quite depressed and sad. They perspire profusely on the head. And the sweat mostly during the meals time. Another very important thing of this remedy is there was strong desire for a soft boiled egg, as compared to agaricus, which requires a hard boiled egg. And swelling of the testes and spermatic cord in children, there's another very important indication. And migraines with weak vision. The vision in Oleum animale is extremely weak, and as a result, they get recurrent headaches. So these are my indication with this remedy.
Fantastic. Well, Farouk, obviously we could go on all night with you just sharing your encyclopedic knowledge of even very little remedies in homeopathic practice. But I would like to give some other people an opportunity to ask some questions. Before I open up the lines, though, let me just mention again that Dr. Master will be one of the many excellent speakers at this year's 2010 LIGA conference in Redondo Beach, California. That's going to be from May 18th through the 22nd. And if you want more information, you can go to their website. It's www.liga2010.org. And again, this has been opened up for the entire homeopathic community. So if you're a student or practitioner at any level and you're interested in participating, this is a golden opportunity. This is the first time, I think, in 11 years the LIGA is going to be in the United States, and aside from the excellent instructors, you have the opportunity to meet some of the best well-known homeopaths from around the world who will be participating. So it's really an excellent opportunity. Also wanted to mention that Dr. Master and myself will be teaching a seminar entitled Pediatrics, Learning from Cured Cases. We'll be showing video cases of cured children with homeopathy, discussing case-taking, case methodology, materia medica, really all aspects of homeopathic practice. It'll be an excellent seminar. If you want more information about that, you can contact the Toronto School of Homeopathic Medicine, and their phone number is 416-966-2350. The dates for that event is May 8th through 9th, and that'll be in Toronto. There's only about 20 seats left, so if you're interested, you should contact us. You should contact the Toronto School right away to reserve your place. Farouk, again, I want to thank you. You're obviously a tremendous wealth of information and experience in homeopathy. Let me go ahead now and open up the lines and let some other people ask some questions. Anybody have a question for Dr. Master?
Yes?
Don't be shy. Yeah, go ahead.
Kim, can we get summaries of what Farouk spoke about somewhere?
Yes. Well, this call has been recorded,
and we will be posting it up on our website. And I know that perhaps some of the names weren't clear to people, so I think perhaps what we'll do in the future is we'll perhaps attach a Word document with all the remedy names so that people can easily understand what remedies are being talked about. So that will be made available. I'd give it about 10 days before it gets posted up on the Whole Health Now website.
So you are going to post a document, or if not, could you spell the snake remedy?
Yes, no problem. So the spelling of the snake remedy, you'll find it in Timothy Field Allen's Encyclopedia Pure Materia Medica. The spelling is A as in apple, M as in Mary, P as in Paul, H as in Harry, I as in iguana, S as in Sam, B as in boy, A as in apple, E as in elephant, N as in Nancy, and A as in apple. So A-M-P-H-I-S, E as in boy, A-E-N-A. And then some of the other remedies that were mentioned was the Flavus, F-L-A-V-U-S, Coli Bacillinum, which is E. coli. There was also the Chironic Fleckeri, which is the box jellyfish, which is I-R-O-N-E-X. And then there was the Oleum Animale, which is the staghorn, O-L-E-U-M, Animale. And then Oleum Decorus, which is made from cod liver oil, O-L-E-U-M, and then J-E-C-O-R-I-S.
Can you repeat the vermicularis spina? I wrote spina. What is the spelling?
Yes, it's A-M-P-H-I-S-B-A-E-N-A. And then the second part you'll see when you look it up in Allen, you'll find vermicularis on the second part. Any other questions for Dr. Master on any
aspect? Yes, Kim, I have one question for Dr. Master.
Go ahead.
How do you differentiate between calcarea pig and calcarea sulf?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello, Dr. Master. How do you differentiate between calcarea pig and calcarea sulf?
Okay, no problem. See, both are hot patients that you should remember, huh? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Farouk. Calcarea pig and calcarea sulfurica.
Now let us write down the common symptoms between them. The common symptom is that they have got always a catarrh in the ear, and they have got a recurrent tendency to boil, okay? And they have got a common time aggravation at 3 o'clock in the evening. That is the... These are the common symptoms of the remedy. Now, if you want to really differentiate them between the two, then the most important thing that you will see in sulfurica is that in sulfurica, the suppurations that starts takes very long time to produce a suppuration and will remain for a very long time and will not respond very fast. That means it takes 7 days for a boil to become pustular boil, and then it will take us 6-7 weeks more for that pustular boil to remain, and it will not go out of the system. Another very important thing in calcarea sulf is the discharge. The discharge is very important. And in sulfuricum, the discharge is yellow, bloody, thick, while in picreta, it is almost always yellow. This is very important. In offensiveness is not there in picrata. Offensiveness of the discharge is more there in the sulfurica. Another very important difference between the two remedy is that in sulfuricum, the boils usually accompany some internal disorder. Like a child has got tendency to develop recurrent boils or boils every spring or every summer. This is in sulfurica. In picreta, it just comes any time without having any tendency. So that's another thing that you can look forward in this remedy. And another thing what I would suggest you in picreta to remember is the styes. Is the styes, and they have got a recurrent styes with a strong aversion to slimy food, to the slimy food. That is very important. And another differentiation that you can look over here is the strong tubercular diatesis. In sulfuricum, there is more of a psoric and a psychotic diatesis, while picreta is more of a
tubercular diatysis. And yeah, these are the some differentiations which I know by heart.
Great.
Okay.
Great. Is there a question? Can answer. Go ahead.
Kim, I have a question.
Go ahead.
My name is Cyrus, and I'm going to be practicing in India shortly. Farouk, what percentage of small remedies, of all the cases that one sees in India, what percent is small remedies, and is that percentage different in the United States?
Very different, because I know nothing about United States. But in my practice, I don't basically look for a small or a bigger remedy. It all depends on the indications, what the patient gives me. And I will not hesitate to give that particular indicated remedy if there are indications. So for me, it is basically nothing to do with a small remedy or a bigger remedy. It all depends on the indications, what I see in my practice.
Farouk, though, when you practice in India, do you find that most of the time you're giving polycrests, and or what is your percentage, like these smaller remedies, what percentage do you find? What percentage?
I would say about 70-80% it's always a polycrest and a big remedy.
Mm-hmm.
But this small remedies, basically I have experimented a lot in my hospital practice and my hospital outpatient departments, because these are the type places where you really many times cannot take a constitutional proper homeopathic case history, and for the reason of medico-legal purpose, sometimes the rush of the patient and the demand is too high, so you need to give some remedies, you know, which can give relief to the patient immediately and instantly. And these are the cases where I use basically a very small remedy or a specific remedy or from a clinical tip which I have seen and verified repeatedly. I have mastered this basically in hospital practice more than in my clinical practice.
So your experience is that these are remedies that you don't find so much in as the overall chronic remedy for the patient, but more in a very specific type of situation?
Yeah. See, what happens is, you know, when you are talking a doctor to doctor in a hospital and he says, oh, I have a case in the ward, you know, I'm given 3-4 antibiotics and the urinary tract infection is not responding. Yeah. Tell me something in homeopathy. Now, I cannot just tell him that refer the patient to me, you know, then it is not possible. But I will say, okay, do one thing. Now, why don't you give him E. coli, you know, 30, just one dose. And he gives, you know, and then after 10 days, he says, hey, yeah, your patient really improved, huh? Then, you know, this is how I try to use such small remedies.
Interesting.
You understood? Yeah.
Farouk, I know you don't have as much clinical experience in the United States, but you have seen some patients here. Is your experience at all similar or different from what you have in India? In terms of your experience of taking cases in the United States compared to India, do you find it different?
No. I think so. The people over there are the same like Indians, and they do open up and they do give good symptoms. And I do prescribe constitutional therapy. Unfortunately, in United States, the only problem is that there's a lot of fantasy homeopathy being introduced, and that I think so is affecting the patient's psychology very badly. Because when you give calcarea, they would always expect, especially, why don't you give me something rare? You know.
Yeah.
This is not good, you know.
Right, as opposed to the remedy they actually need.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. All right, let me open it. The questions for Dr. Master. We only have a few minutes. Yes, go ahead.
Dr. Master, is it okay if I give oleum animalis to one of my patients who's 14 years old, who has a congenital retinal problem, dystrophy of the retina, both of the rods and cones?
So?
And he does get recurring headaches.
So?
Oleum animali?
Yes, you can give, but there has to be some other symptom of oleum animal.
Do you want to tell her what she would want, what she would be good indications? Other than, do you have something else you want to share other than what you told us?
I think so. You should look for some other symptoms. Let me tell you some good symptom which you should look for. See, oleum animalis has got a very large mental symptom. So you have to look something in the mind, you know, some symptoms which can be very characteristic of the mind. And you should look for some good general symptoms of the remedy. If you want, I can tell you often some good general symptoms
basically it is a good remedy where the development is arrested. The discharge, if at all, is any from any part of the body, has to be a very offensive, like a fish brine. And they have got strong craving for bread. In fact, the patient can only survive on bread, and then, of course, the soft-boiled egg, which I discussed in my lecture, and a strong desire for potatoes. They have got mucus secretions from different part of the body, which can be thick, thin, offensive. They have got a burning pains, and they have got a marked aggravation from 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And at the level of the mind, if you would like to have a look at it, it is usually ailments from anger. Some issues with the anger you should look about.
Right.
It's a big remedy, actually. But I think so it has got more than 2,000 symptoms in the repertory. So you have to look for the symptoms. Just specifically, it may not help you.
Great. Well, I see that we're out of time, Farouk. Again, I want to thank you so much. If we can give Dr. Master a big North American thank you, and whoever else
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.